You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
All right. It's that red light is meant to be believed. We are live back here on a Monday. Hello, everybody, and welcome to an exciting new edition of Low Key on the Wall Network. I am host Harry, a.k.a. The Moving Target. And this is going to be a fun episode. So this one, well, we're going to talk about a different bunch of things. We're going to go around. Yes, we're going to talk about a lot of the news today because, like, Reinhold, hopefully, he's been drinking water all day and keeping hydrated because he's been, obsessed and looking at things on the news. So, of course, we'll bring up the big news story of the day. Don Lemon. Because everyone cares about. That's the other one. But the but the one thing I did want to talk about, like, some things that are going off in the job market. So it's going to be a fun episode. But let me introduce the other two people who have joined me on this mission, because you guys know I don't like flying solo. I can do it. I swear I can do it. But like I said, he's been drinking water all day, staying up abreast on the news. We've got Reinhold. Reinhold, say hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. It's been a fun day watching Twitter feeds. It's, one of those days where just nothing is going on. Absolutely nothing. And it's boring. It's quiet. So I don't know what to do, what we're going to talk about.
Guten Abend, Frau Christie. It's interesting. It'll be interesting talking. Trust me. I was talking to Christie. Vincent. Yeah.
Real quick, Christie. This week's wait, don't tell me, the guest star was Weird Al Yankovic. You might want to check it out.
Oh yeah, did you hear? Yeah, I'm sure she's got to know about it, right? I was listening to it. I was listening to it too. It's like, oh my god. Anyways, bring him back on his direction that Reinhold interrupted. We got Vincent sitting over here. Why don't you go say hi to everybody?
Hey, everybody. I assume that we're talking about the biggest news of esports shit that nobody cares about but me.
Is esports still a thing?
Yeah. Not in the America? U.S. Not in the U.S. No. Anywhere but the U.S.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
CSGO 2 is out now.
Not out. It's in beta, anyway. It's in beta testing.
Yeah.
I mean...
The U.S. because the U.S. sucks.
CS:GO is better smoke, right? I mean, that's really all it is.
I mean, just to put it in context, some of the Brazilian leagues were getting more viewership than the North American leagues.
Yeah. It's our big corporations suck.
On Valorant, it's just called the Americas. They don't do NA. The Americas.
Yeah, our corporations suck. They use the force of gun to make everything suck if they don't have control over it. So I enjoy it when the force of gun is turned around at them, and it's just like, hey, you guys started this crap. I don't want them nowhere near this, but you put the thing on the table. So you wanted to play with it. It's here. The ring's here. Let's play with it. But that's not the topic I wanted to talk about. This is there's been like several different podcasts and stuff that I've been going off of. Like one, we'll do the show in the future. I'm going to tease this show. I talked to Vincent earlier, but like behind the scenes, which if you are a $1,000 and up to Low Key Patreon subscriber, you heard that content. So if you're paying us 1,000 dollars a month, you would hear that content. I gotta stop saying that joke. We don't have a Patreon.
You say that, but then and then somebody does. You can find the Patreon up. Page. Somebody signs up to the Wall Patreon with under $1,000 specifically for Low Key Wall. And they're like, this goes to Low Key.
I wanna hear
the scenes. Gonna start doing some extra recording.
I know, maybe they should record that. But no, seriously, if you want to toss some money to any of the show, toss it just the regular big show, that will trickle to us. Low Key is subsidized by the Chris Spangle Show and the rest of the Real Libertarians Network. We suck up a lot of the bandwidth and data storage because we are consistent. We do long shows of high quality. So the size like the extra that goes around, we like to eat that up, you know, and make Spangle do things. It's a lot of fun. I love it.
I mean the only reason we get subsidized by the regular one is because I don't have access to the email, and if I had access to the email, we're doing Raid Shadow Legends promos every episode.
No
everyone. That's doing Raid Shadow Legends. We're doing Manscaped. We're doing Hello Fresh.
Nord VPN.
Stop it. We're not. Not sponsored. Not sponsored. We don't do any of that crap. Okay. We have standards. We're not here for the money. We're here for love. People to come and watch the live show. This is what we're here for.
We're being sponsored by Apple and their fight against sideloading, because we know sideloading is bad, right?
Stop it. Anyways, the Manscaped, if anyone's looking for a good razor, the Manscaped razor is just junk. Don't buy those. Get the pants.
Whoa.
It's junk. It's crap.
Does not condone what Low Key Wall says.
Those are just Timu razors with balls like scratched on it. That's all Manscaped
is. All I know is if they want a sponsor, that is redacted. Is all in Minecraft is what he's saying. It doesn't really count.
Anyways, what I wanted to talk about. All right, so I'm teasing this other show. So we're going to bring producer Paul back on, because I've been watching this a lot of podcasts talking about what is going on to like the younger generation. Like, is the younger generation screwed? Have we really messed them up? And this, but I want to tell you, like, I don't think so. Some of it's okay, but there's some things I've looked at and it's like, I'm gonna need Paul to come in to get me off this black pill for that part. But this one here, which I'm noticing, all right, so which I want to talk about the job market, people looking for jobs right now and going through and all the weird things are going on with looking for a job, job hiring practices, and the qualifications for jobs, because it's not like I don't look at this stuff. I look at it all the time, because the best time to look for a job is while you have one. No matter if I am happy at my job. I love my job. I don't plan on going to another work for at least two years. But at any moment, my boss could come in the corner and go like, hey, sold to this Chinese investment firm. Good luck. just like I try to keep my podcasting skills up, because Spangle could, send me an email and go like, we're not libertarian anymore. We're doing country radio, and I got to be ready, okay? Any moment. Anything can happen, you know? Because especially the month of May, he gets really into racing. I'm like, man, we're just going to be let's just be a sports network. It should be fun.
We cover the XFL.
All Dale Earnhardt all the time. Let's go.
Yeah, praising Dale. No, but the thing I wanted to talk about is like I said, is jobs. So I've been looking at all the different jobs, of the jobs around the marketplace, and mostly in the tech sector. I look at tech. I also look at food and some mechanicals and like that. But most of the time, I'm mostly looking at tech jobs. And it has always been ridiculous. I'm used to that ridiculous, neat entry level, 10 years of experience, and help desk. That thing is still out there. Those jobs are still out there. But what I'm seeing is maybe I've never seen this before, or this hasn't come to me, is I'm seeing a lot of tech jobs not posting the salary for a lot of the jobs. Which is shocking to me. I'm used to seeing that there. I don't know. Maybe that's just, and honestly, like I only filter for jobs that are going to tell me how much they pay. Because that's the worst thing I always hate was applying for a job and finding out like they're nowhere near my salary thing. You know, they're nowhere near what I need to make compensation wise. I can't. And I was like, no, I can't live on that. You know, I've got investments I need to make, and you know, my skills are worth more than that. So I'm not gonna think of, unless your mission. I love your mission. I'm not doing that. I don't know if anyone like this. Like, have you guys been out and like looked on, pooped up Indeed or other job places? You know,
I have
recently had reason to.
You have.
Tucker.
Yeah, my company last week announced first time in a decade reduction in workforce, and I was not part of it, but my boss was, and some other people I know were, and kind of makes you think about, you know, whether we should look around or not, and just, you know, so I started looking around and see what's out there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting. There's a lot of stay-at-home IT jobs now. Lots. That were not there 5 years ago.
Lots of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which does make sense. Because, like, I hate cloud computing. I hate it. But I really hate cloud computing if I have to go into an office. If I have to go to a building, then I want my server in the building.
So I've been a consultant for a while now. And it always made me frustrated because it's like, why do you want me on site? Why do you want to pay me airfare, hotel, car rental, all that stuff that I have to do to come out to your business to do what I could be doing sitting in my office over a line? Because the cord basically, because nobody goes into their server room anymore anyway. They're all remotely managing their servers from their desk. Mm-hmm. I just have a longer cord. I mean, this is not brain surgery here. Right. So it never made sense to me why a company would want to pay that kind of money just to have me there on site. And mm-hmm. find out a lot of times it's because they want to have face-to-face time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which
Reinhold is frozen on the screen.
Anyway, I railed about that for a long time, and I finally got to a position where I could work home all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know I updated the software for my camera, and now it is being a pain in my butt. So,
well, we thank you for doing
this. Updates. Or I uninstall the camera and just go without tonight.
Well, our numbers drop if people can't see you. Okay, people like seeing Ryan Holmes' face, so we can't have that. Yeah.
I figured the numbers would go up if they couldn't see me. You guys, I get.
Thank you. Thank you.
No one wants to see this face.
Doubtful.
Who's that old guy?
Oh, come on. You do good in the 35 to 45 demo. Okay?
35 to 45.
All right, Vincent, yourself, you've been looking at it?
Well,
that's just people truly wonder if I'm their dad.
I haven't personally been looking at it much since I started the job I'm currently at. I haven't mm-hmm. talked to people who have. And while we did joke about, like, oh, you had to have this much qualification, that doesn't make any logical sense. That there's just a lot of that where they were like, oh, yeah, we need you in this entry-level job, but you need, like, 5 years of this and 6 years of that. And it's like, why are you even putting this here if I'm not going to make any amount of money? With mm-hmm. my experience, might as well go to a job that actually has experience and will care about my experience.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is more of the job market is random. The a lot of jobs are like open. They have this job available, and they'll say, "Oh, this is work from home," but it'll specifically say, "Well, you need to make sure you have a car and are willing to drive to this area." In this general vicinity of this location, but we're work from home, but not really.
Yeah, but not really. Yeah, the bait and switch. A lot of them
where they put work from home to mm-hmm. get eyes on their thing mm-hmm. when they're not work from home.
Oof. Yeah. And be careful for job posts like that, because if they're willing to lie there from the jump, they'll lie for everything else. They'll bait and switch for everything else. And those are red flags. You know, it's
absolutely.
You know, yeah. Like me personally, I liked going into an office. I enjoyed it. But with gas prices the way they are, I enjoy being out. You know, it's, I've gotten used to it. You know, like now it's like, it's going to take a lot for me to like go to in. I'm like, go in. I'm going to need an office. What? Nah, we got this. Nah, bro. No, you don't understand. I've had complete privacy. I need that.
I just like having because you exchanged your extroverted nature from an office to a yoga studio doesn't mean anything. Because that's what it was. You just wanted to be around the people, but now you have a chance to do it like every day that isn't in the office. So you're fine. Yeah.
Yes. But, well, like my company actually subsidize my yoga habit, you know, because you know, when you tell them like, I need to see people once in a while because I don't on my IT team we meet daily, but I'm just the one IT guy. So there are some days like I don't talk to anybody at my company. I there's tickets and most of the time they're all back ends. Hey, can you boot this thing up in AWS, or hey, I created 5 servers at like 3 a.m. Can you get them up to snuff compliance wise? And I'm like, just use the Terraform script. Ah, I couldn't get them to work. So I ended up doing that stuff. But yeah, it's all right. So like my main thing is, right, which like I get on the record for all the time, is like I'm upset a lot of these job positions, which I will tell you this, like if you're in the marketplace, you are the hiring manager and you can't realize like you're not getting a lot of good candidates are coming up. I've seen a lot of it is a lot of people using putting too much pressure on their HR department. I think HR is great for helping with recruiting, special technical recruiters, to see if people are a good culture fit and to give you some resumes. But I think they use a lot of different things to help them sift through all the resumes that they get. And I think a lot of good candidates fall through the cracks of those as they sift through. And I think one of the big ones is when they tell people, like, hey, it's all the different qualifications, the wish list that people want. And I think the biggest one is, like, especially in the IT field, is like requiring like a 4-year degree, especially for an entry level position. It's like, no. Associates is fine. The certifications are fine, or just has the skills or background knowledge to be able to just do this. You know, now it's, one thing I always tell people is like most of the technology I've worked on didn't even exist when I was in college. You know, I'm way past that. It was like, well, did you get your cert in this thing? It was like I kind of want to get my certs and like some of the VM stuff like that, but I kind of like grew into it. I was moving around to it. So are there stuff I missed? Yeah, I've picked up most of it and just used it, but it's as I go through any like the beginning courses, I just look at it and just, you know, like my eyes go cross eyed. Like, I know this, speed up, go faster, you know.
It's also that other element of a lot of people don't look good on paper, but are good in interviews.
Yes.
But they can't get to the interview portion of it because their papers don't look up to standard or what they want it to look like. Because I feel like it was going to a completely different level of all this was especially when I was growing up, of the you have to go to college. If you don't go to college, you're nothing. Ideal of a lot of it, and because of that, it's kind of warped a lot of the what business people are looking for, because they're like, well, you need to have this, because everybody says you need to have a college degree. It doesn't matter if you're skilled enough, you know all the technical know-how to run this machine. You don't have the paper and the debt that says you can run this machine,
right? Yeah.
And it's not so much that as it is you don't have the paper that says you run this machine, but these 3 other people do.
Right.
So we're going to look at them first. Right. It's a competition type thing. It's not necessarily they want that requirement. It's like, how can we weed out to a number that we can handle to interview?
Exactly. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the easy sorting of HR departments to get with all the amount of applications that they get in. You know, they need something to sort. Like, I kind of fault HR for it, but I also like fault the hiring manager. Like, I've seen a lot of different clients when you just ask the HR, like, can I see the clients that you've turned away? You know, and you might find some really good ones, or someone who are like really creepy close, you know, but like they just don't, like, well, they don't have that 4-year degree, or, well, we want, you said VMware. This guy's did Zen server. Like, I don't, Zen server's close enough. Give me. Just like, we're struggling over here. Get this person in here. You know, I don't care. He understands virtualization, you know?
But if you told him that, especially if they don't have the same expertise in what mm-hmm. they're supposed to be looking for to hire into, mm-hmm. it causes that whole other rift of, you gave me this criteria and I don't know how to guesstimate based on them sure. having this piece of paper that says they're skilled in these three adjacent things that are mm-hmm. adjacent to what you guys do, but yeah. not exactly what you do. So I'm going to turn them away.
Correct. Yeah. So I think a lot of it has to be like, which me personally, I think a lot of it has to go into. So if you are a hiring manager, I think you probably need to take more of an active role in your response. It's like, I think you can't leave it all up to HR. Or your technical recruiter to like help you with recruiting. You need to get down in the trenches too, and like possibly sort through and look through some of these resumes. Cause you know, the process is dirty and it's awful right now.
Something else that happened when those, you know, ZipRecruiters, all those, you know, online resources started popping up,
mm-hmm.
Is that the headhunter business dried up. Mm-hmm. So when I was looking to get a mm-hmm. position, I was getting into IT. I just got, you know, and I was wanting to change where I was at. And I remember calling up the headhunters and they're like, well, you know, we don't have anything for you right now, blah, blah, blah. Well, I got into an argument with the company I was working at because they were promising me with a promotion, I would get so much money. And then a year came by and they didn't give me what they told me they were going to and everything else. So
mm-hmm.
I came from that meeting and went to my office and I got a phone call from the recruiter, from the headhunter saying, hey, I was just checking back in, wanting to know if you had any experience with Microsoft Server, because a lot of people didn't have it at that time and I had been working with it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, I do actually. Now that you mention it. And they're like, oh, I can have you a job in a week, right? So they were able to, you know, they were able to go and talk to the people and say, hey, this is the thing with the guy, you know, and so they have these relationships. They know who to talk to. They know how to get into the door mm-hmm. and to sell you. And then you just come in and get the job. I had a job offer in 3 days,
yeah,
right? By the next Friday, I gave in my notice. So that was amazing. And then years later, when I wanted to try and use the headhunter again, it was like, I can't even find these people. They had quit the business. There weren't any mm-hmm. companies doing it anymore. It was just like, that function was very useful, especially in IT and probably in other mm-hmm. areas where you could have that intermediary working on your behalf
mm-hmm.
because I may know all about IT, but I don't know about hiring, you know, right then at the time. I've done some hiring since then, but I don't know all the ins and outs and everything you have to know and who to know and how to get in the mm-hmm. door. And these people did that for you. And they just took they got a pay. They got paid from the guy who ends up hiring me,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a way to say, hey, we didn't have to go slog through, you know, 200 resumes to try to find somebody. You brought them to us. So we're going to give you some money back for that. Yeah. So
I feel like it just got pushed off to the markets that were about marketing yourself. Like a good example of it, if you're following the NFL, the whole thing with Lamar Jackson, the player who he doesn't have an agent, he's been trying to negotiate his own contract, and because of that, he hasn't been able to get a new contract. He's been representing himself, and everything's all over the place. And then you look at, you know, Jalen Hurts has got he just went to the Super Bowl and got a brand new contract and made him the most paid player in NFL history. So
Aaron Rodgers just got himself where he wanted to go. So
mm-hmm, yeah, but it's
got traded.
Still having that agent there's certain markets that have it, you know. a lot of it is entertainment industry, because the entertainment industry is still a lot about who you know and who can help you move your thing ahead.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the things, is like, when you're looking into the process of getting a book published, you want a literary agent, and that literary mm-hmm. agent will really help you sell your book and get it to the publishers in front of their eyes and make sure you don't get screwed over.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where literally one of the first things that was said on almost every version of the things I was looking up is that the the writing agents don't get paid unless you get paid. If they want money up front, they're wrong. So it still exists. It's just not as common, especially in the tech industry, I believe, mostly because a lot of that stuff got shifted to California and Silicon Valley. And everybody just assumes that if you're in tech, you want to be in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
So they just, if you're not there, they're probably not looking for it for you anywhere else.
Well, that's just like the startups. Like most of the thing outside of that is like it's the actual big company with assets and money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like if you don't have any assets and, you know, all your money's paper, you're probably in Silicon Valley. It's Silicon Valley, it's a big lie bubble. You know, it's the reason why, like, people are shocked, like, oh man, why is it Bud Light stock dropping? Because they have assets. That value is assets.
Distributing rents. Okay? Oh, you mean because they have 80 other beers that isn't Bud Light?
80 other beers, they have assets, they have distribution routes and rights to all kinds of different things. Okay. You know, if that would have been like some sort of, you know, startup company and everything is, they don't really own nothing, everything's all word of mouth. Yeah. A boycott just cripples, destroys you. But if you got assets, doesn't mean anything. It's like, right. So what? So what, it's like everyone's going like Bed Bath Beyond is right now. It's getting ready to go like through like liquidation. Like, yeah. They own assets. You know, they're going to be fine. Everyone's going to get some nice stuff. You know, it's, you know, also if you're furnishing your house, don't forget Bed and Bath Beyond is going to have a liquidation sale coming up this week.
Getting that nice brand new Beyond for your bedroom.
Get me some new, you know, personally, yeah, some nice towels, probably redo my bedding. Okay. All right. Get everything.
Ooh, they have these nice thread count sheets. Ooh. I know.
Yeah. And it kind of like exists in some way. Like, so like most of the times, like, I will say this right now, I haven't seen like a headhunter in like years either. Like most of the people that like, have helped me get jobs have been just my friends that I know from that I've used for temp agencies. Like they just know, like, you know, like they also like find people looking for like full-time work, you know, they just something like also help recruiting thing on the side, you know. It's like their main business, but their main business is like just do a temp work. So like, you know, I get a phone call from them all the time, like, you looking here? It was like, nope. Well, just, can you just hear this out? I was like, fine, for you, I'll hear it out. you know, it's, all I'm saying is just, if you are looking out there to like, or you're trying to hire or something like that, and you're not getting good candidates coming in, I'm like, you should probably see what the applicants people are tossing away. And also understanding like your wish list from the last person, it's just that, it's a wish list, you know, like, get rid of some of the things. You're not stop trying to make someone like, be your perfect candidate. And some things is like, and also don't expect someone to know everything that, you know, expect you some training. You know, they're taking a risk on you and you should take a risk and spend money on them and be willing to train people on things, you know, like, what are you willing to train, you know, and then put that preferred, you know, like, hey, like, if you don't know this one part of software, but you know of something like this, we're willing to train.
Right, like the company I work for is just like, oh, you don't have a tech license? Here, we'll pay for you to get your tech license for this. That I will just pay for it. As long as you go out of your way to learn, they will pay.
Yep. Yeah. And
but you get people who say they don't want to pay you to train you so that you can go somewhere else and take that and get more money somewhere else.
Well, obviously that's
a big fear.
You're not paying market rate for that position.
Right.
Yeah. Then that's it. Yeah. Then you can't afford that. Then you need to understand that you need to break that position into two different lower pay tiers, or you need to pay market rate. That's, you know, that's just, yeah, you're just not paying market. You know, it is what it is. Or you need to get someone who barely has anything, and hopefully while training them, you build a loyalty and rapport with that person. You know, that's what you're looking for. Someone's like, hey,
yeah, but are the people these days loyal, especially in IT?
Some people are loyal, but the other thing is like, are companies loyal? Because I think so many IT people or just people in general have been burned by companies. It is like, I think it's a very fair question or interviewing question is to ask what your company did during COVID. You know, like what did you do? You know, like how many people are here like pre that? You know, like how many layoffs did you do? How many people did you get rid of? Did you just get rid of people? You know, what was your reaction?
Well, I think it's a two-tier problem because you've got on one hand, you've got the old adage in IT that if you want to raise or if you want to make market value, you have to basically change jobs every 3 years. So that's the only way you're going to get it. And then there's also the IT side of things where they, you know, they just don't handle making the jobs something you want to work for, right? So they're trying to get by with as little bit as possible. They're not paying market rate, and you know, I don't know. It's just are they willing to pay you for loyalty? Are they do they reward the loyalty? A lot of them don't.
Yeah. And they're always shocked when you're willing to up and leave, but they're also, but if you feel like they're also also won't have loyalty back, because loyalty is also a two-way street. Remember, like if you notice your company is there, like, hey, they're having an issue with someone, but they're willing to get rid of them on a spot on a Tuesday with no warning, no help out, blah, 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 blah. If they do that to that person, they'll definitely do it to you. You know, it's, Don't be loyal to a company that could just get rid of you like in a few seconds. Like, oh no, we'll help you out, stuff like that. Like my company, like we got rid of somebody. Nope, 2 weeks of pay. We let them keep their laptop. I was like, yeah, we're done with you. Blah 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 blah. We'll help you out. You know, no, it's great. It's great. Awesome. Was it a jerk? This is great. That's awesome. That's company you can have loyalty for. Not, you know, some of these other fly by night bullcrap stuff.
Right, like the last company I worked for, the only reason I stayed as long as I did was like COVID hit. They're like, cool, we're just gonna keep going. Like, yeah, we didn't close. We missed like 2 days. They can deep clean everything, and they're like, all right, let's keep going. Yeah. And we just kept working, and I didn't miss a moment of money. And then they also paid you if you had COVID, and until you know. They overestimated themselves and thought the peak from COVID was a trend and not an outlier, and sold themselves into closing down. So
yeah. Well, and the other one is also like you're right. Like yeah, because getting a cost of living raise every year, it's more people like, well, do you need that every year? It's like, well, yeah. If I'm not getting like you know with inflation's constantly going to eat at my salary. You know, or if things become more expensive in the air, it's going to eat myself. I'm just going to be making less. So it's another reason why some people move around. You know, so they, you know, if you increase the price of your products to help with inflation, like guess what? Like your employee's salary is probably everything else went up around. Your employees need that. I think the jobs need to, like, if they want loyalty, you have to pay for loyalty. You know, it's, you know, or and understand that, like, it's, if you want them to be loyal to you, you have to be loyal to them. And I think the one of the best things from out of the COVID thing was to people understand, like, when you are with some of these fake companies, was like, hey, here we're family. We're family here. Family doesn't just kick me out on the street, you know, as we're staring at the barrel of a gun of no, you know, like a of a you know like a of a pandemic, you know, or just we'll just get rid of you on a Tuesday with no letter, nothing, lock you out of everything, you know, no words, don't see it coming, you know, that's not family, you know, we're a family until something bad happens. No, F that. Don't have that misplaced loyalty to those companies. Be wary of those places. Like we're here, we're family. I don't know if you see some offboarders that didn't feel like family. Trust me, they'll do it to you too. You know?
Oh yeah,
you know. You know, like, you know, your loyalty is to your real family and yourself. Okay. All right. The job is something that you're performing, and it's a contract that you do for this company.
Right. That's one of the things that I excel at is separating, you know, work is work and everything else is everything else. I've had a lot of people who are like, oh, they're so angry at this other coworker for being this person or interact or just like, the people there, and I've so easily just been like, cool, I don't care, I'm not at work anymore, stop talking about it.
Yeah, don't care.
Hey, cool, I clocked out, cool, this guy, we have, I'll give you 30 minutes and then after that I don't care.
man, clocking out, man. Bro, you remember clocking out?
Oh yeah, I remember. I was working for a mail sorting company. They did mail sorting for the postal service. We had to clock in every night at a certain time. If you clocked in late, mm-hmm. you could three times. The third time, you're automatically fired.
The last time I had to like punch a clock is when I was for IT. I remember I had someone called me in because like the server was down, and it was like quick 5 minute fix. I was able to fix it, right? But they woke me up at 1 a.m. So I stayed working for 3 hours. I just started work. I'm up. You woke me up.
Yeah, I was looking for a company, and it was an hourly IT job, and they had me clock in every day and clock out.
Yep. You know? Mm-hmm. Yep. They're like, you ate 3 hours there. I was like, yeah, you woke me up. I started working. But you fixed the issue. Sure did. And I noticed other issues. So I just kept working.
Might as well. So if I'm all right. In for a pound.
I've been leaving after lunch. after lunch. Unless you want to give that OT. Which I'm all for. Yeah, last time I got that. I was like, let's transfer her to salary. Yeah, I will. I have no issue about clocking in. And once I've clocked in, don't you dare touch that. Don't you dare touch it.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. Being on the clock and not salary, they're like, I need to do this thing at 3 minutes before you leave. Cool. I'm just going to stay clocked in and do it all. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
I think one of the best things I got for like the older boomer generation is, which I will give this thing out to, if you are clocking in and clocking out on a clock machine, you should have your own paper copy of that clock in, clock out receipt yourself, because I'm not saying all businesses will try to screw you over, but a lot of businesses will. Okay. They will try to fudge 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, very subtly. I'm not saying a lot of businesses do that. I'm not saying every business does that, but I've seen it happen. And the only reason I could like verify that was happening to me is because this old boomer guy, made me write down my clock ins, and I noticed it. I was like, wait a minute. I am missing 30 minutes, this is weird. I've clocked in, clocked out, but like according to this calculation, that's wrong, and you could show them like, hey, this is wrong. Well, your paper's wrong. My paper's not wrong. I knew exactly when I clocked in and clocked out because I sat here and read it. Sat here and watched me on camera, but anyway.
Where's my time card?
Yeah. Where's my time card? Yes. Where's my time card? I want to see my time card. And sure enough, with the system we were using, someone went in and did edit my time. So, yep.
Gross.
Yeah, very gross. Yeah, but I, so like I said, I always kept the record. But no. No. This is just the thing I've been looking at. Like, I will say this also to people who are applying for jobs and not getting any results. I will say this. I think the another good way is to go to like networking events to find these people. They were hiring them. Look them up in LinkedIn and find these people, or go different events. The other one too is if you're applying for a job, especially at entry level. If you don't have all the things on the list, remember, those are wish lists. Some people have gone through and just through a bunch of SEO things, trying to find people. If you've got majority of these skills on here, or some of them, or close, or some of, I'm weak in some of these areas, apply. Just freaking apply. Because my company wanted someone a little stronger on databases than myself, but I'm stronger in so many other areas. They didn't care about the database thing. We just hire a contractor if it's something I can't do.
another important thing is to don't be afraid to go out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Just start applying for stuff. I mean, over the past, my last four jobs were fast food, computer teardown, and basically Amazon shipping, and now a pharmacy technician. It's all widespread, massively different. Things barely connect each other in circles.
You get get that ADHD resume.
No. I got that. Oh, I know somebody who works there. Cool. Let me have that job real quick. I need a job. And I just stay until they kick me out.
Oh, man. Oh, I saw, I was going to report this meme, though, by the way. It was like, are you really a jack of all trades, or you just have unchecked, undiagnosed ADHD? And I was just like, report, this is offensive.
Report, this is a meme. This is about me, and I don't like it.
I'm in this picture, and I don't like it.
This person is offensive. First off, my ADHD is in check. That's why I drink so much coffee.
That's the only reason it is in check. This is how I aim it. I use my coffee to aim my ADHD at things.
This is nitro cold brew.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, I'd make this nitro cold brew and put some gamer subs in it. Oh, yeah, this is amazing. I think my heart went up 4 beats a minute. I don't even know how that's happened.
Coffee makes the best pre-workout, okay? Right. I do freak people out when I go to the hot yoga and I'm in the room drinking coffee. And I complain that, ooh, the room is cold.
What is wrong with it?
Man's nuts. Yeah, it's more. It's more fun when you walk around with booty shorts, saying it like, it's freezing in there.
Yeah, but yeah, it's okay to not have the same to reach for something that isn't regularly in your comfort zone.
Oh, yeah.
Going for a job that you have the potential of being able to excel at, this is always an option to do that.
Yeah. 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 It's perfectly fine to go do something else, you know, because I enjoy also like from hiring people, I enjoy people like with having like a different background because you bring, you know, so many different skills to the table that your average candidate, you know, probably isn't going to have. So if you have someone who is very worldly, like who is like, okay, they've worked at this thing in this state here. They've constantly there's like red flags. Like, okay, this person keeps moving around this state. You know, like, yeah, it's kind of like red flag. It's like, this person keeps moving around, but it's like, or are they just worldly? They will like traveling, you know, but they're going to do the job the best as they can. It's like, if those places are willing to give them references and like, yeah, this place is great. It knows all the, you know, knows a bunch of things because he's been in different kitchens. Heck yeah. I love having chefs that have been like, yep, 6 months here, 5 months there, 6 months
chefs
there.
Chefs totally make sense. If it's like certain jobs where they want stability, it's like, oh, you're at 7 jobs, but each of those jobs you were there for a year.
Mm-hmm.
That they're like, oh, well, it shows that you can at least invest a year in it. So if they can know that you'll at least invest a year of your time into it, even if you're not going to stay for that for super long, you'll at least invest a year, which is enough for somebody to go, well, if you're here for a year, I can train you for like a month and then I'll still get 11 months of progress out of you.
Yeah. And if you're willing to give someone a raise after a year, trust me, they're going to be there for just the year.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't want to commit. It's like, did you give them a raise for the first year? No. So that was no. Why would they commit unless you're giving like a 30% bump from the last job they just had? Most of them are gonna like bounce on you after that first year, you know. So sorry, that is just what I've been seeing in the marketplace. It's just these weird, you know. It's also that lie of like, hey, no one wants to work. It's freaking BS. So people are applying for things, they're out there, but it's also like, but people don't want some of these junk jobs. There are so many like also like junk and terrible ones where like you say like the fake remote ones,
yeah,
or the slick, well, it's daytime, but you need to have some night shift availability. What?
I thought it was daytime. Or my favorite. We're okay. Every job you have to have at least one weekend day a week.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, it's a 5-day work schedule, but you have to work at least one weekend.
Yeah. I get it. Some people don't want to work weekends. You know, and some people do, or some people are fine working weekends, or some people are willing to sacrifice that. But you should probably pay for those people, just like you do third shift, who's willing to like take some of these days and go work, like, and work the weekends. I need people to work Sunday. I love servers who work Sundays and Saturday mornings so I can go to brunch with them. That's for yoga. I need that worker there. I can understand they want to go off and go party. I understand they want to go do different things, but I need them there. I'm willing to tip more for them, and I hope that business pays them more for being there too, you know, versus someone who's just going to be there Tuesday in a regular afternoon. Everyone is freaking working on Tuesday afternoon, you know? Yeah. You know, I think like, yeah, it's, you know, it's, if you want that person to be there, like, you know, treat them like they're meant to be there. Like you want them there, you know,
exactly.
Because if you don't, trust me, someone will, or they'll just keep hop around, you know, because it's easier to be, you know, okay for 6 months, you know, the glow of being brand new, you know, you still have in 6 months, you can be complete screw off and just keep switching jobs every 6 months.
Right. Well, when I was in fast food, the place I worked at, you know, is a authentic Mexican cuisine.
Mr. Beast tacos.
If only Mr. Beast was around at that point, it'd probably be a better job. But when I was like managing people, I would show them I value them, and while there are plenty of times where I felt like the people above me didn't value me, make sure the people I worked under me did. Mm-hmm. At one point, they're like, "All right, we need you to work Thanksgiving, and you can close the store at 5 o'clock, but everything has to be out of the heating cabinet. Everything, just throw it all away."
Yeah.
And like, there's two bins of tortilla chips, and they're like, "Can I have that?" It's like, "Yeah." It's going in the trash, so yeah.
I'm not saying you can take this home. I just need it out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like, I definitely, at one point, somebody took a whole bag of the ground beef because it wasn't going to last a whole day overnight.
Yep.
So I was like, here you go.
Allegedly. Yeah, that's another thing with like when it comes to managers, like, you know, you know, like giving people some spliff stuff just to get them to come, and be careful how you talk to someone who's coming in and relieving you. You know, I remember when my wife, she was talking about like, she had a, when she was working at a local gas station, she had a third shifter. She was like, "He's drunk. I can tell that he's been drinking, but he's here to relieve me, and I don't care." It's like, so what do you do? Like, I just mentioned, like, "Are you diabetic?" He goes, "Yeah." And I just like, "Okay." And I assume it's that, and I leave. Did my due diligence.
See, my benefit when I was in fast food most times, like, I was working the closing shift. So it was like, cool. Nobody comes into the store until like 4 hours after I leave. Cool. But there's also the other aspect of it for a lot of corporations wise is, why would you be loyal to somebody who doesn't do the work?
Right.
And why would, if they're not going to show their faces or show that they have any investment in it, why do you care?
Exactly. Exactly. When, I think, this local company I used to work for, we go out to the track here in May, right? And we'd get there super early in the morning to set up all the bars and the catering spots for and the thing. We get there super freaking early in the morning to get it all set up. So we have to wake up early and just get to the track. And every May, we'd get there. I remember my first time blew my mind when I saw him, his mama, and most of his family there making us all breakfast. They were here before us setting up breakfast. It's like, thank you. Thank you for showing up. Here, let's go. Let's get going. You know? Serving us breakfast, helping us get things out, you know, let's go, let's get this going, yay. I'm
like, right, it's one of those days of like, if they show that they care, and you feel like they care, it's a night and day difference. I knew so many employees that are like, they worked amazing on my shift, for other people that are just like, mediocre, because the person who was running that shift was an asshole, and they don't care. Like, fuck that guy. I don't care about him. Whatever. When it means that, cool, everything is clean and spotless and food gets out faster than normal and we get shit done.
Yeah. 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 Right, home. Are you okay?
I'm fine. just listening to you. I mean, that was one of the things I had the best job ever when I was working second shift, because everybody was gone for the day. It was just me in the building, and I had about an hour's worth of work to do. So I got reading done. I got all kinds of stuff taken care of.
There's so awesome. Much time now.
Oh, man. that's when you was working at the candle shop, right? Second shift, you was making all the candles.
That was an interesting job too, because so I had been working
at the bolt shop.
It's probably something that I don't know happens a lot these days. I can tell you about what it was like back for me back in, you know, the early 90s. I'd been working as a mechanical type job. I was rebuilding fan clutches and moved into inventory control and did a bunch of other stuff there while I was there. But I was going to college, back to school for computer stuff. So I graduated from there, and I was trying to get a job in computers. And I applied for this one company, and they never called me back. And I called them and I said, hey, it's been a couple of weeks, and I was just kind of curious what was going on. And they said that they didn't think that they could afford me. And I said, well, what are you offering?
And yeah, you're overqualified. Like, you know,
it was like $2.50 less an hour than what I was making, but I didn't want to do what I was doing anymore, you know? And I knew that I could start here and move up. I was just, we'll offer me. And she said, okay, this. And I was like, I'll take it. You know, so that's how I got into IT. But you got to be sometimes willing to do that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's another job I have now. I took a pay cut because, like, I just wanted to do a security job. I wanted a IT security job on my resume, you know, and it's just like, well, we can't, like, we need someone who does security, but we don't think you can afford to, because, like, yeah, you know, like, but it's like, I'll take the pay cut. If you put security in my title. That's what I need. I need that.
Right. Like, one of the things that, like, happened a lot when my mom was looking for a job is she kept running into the places that are like, oh, you're overqualified because you have like 20, 30 years in customer service, and this isn't customer service. You're way overqualified to be a part of this. So we're not going to give you the job. We'll put somebody new in here. It's like, no. That is one thing I have heard of, being overqualified for a position. Even though you need a job, they're like, you're overqualified. We can't hire you in.
I'll tell you a fun one, too. This is when I was first starting. So I was in the Navy, nuclear reactor operator, blah, 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 got discharged. So I'm looking for a job. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to move somewhere where there's a nuclear power plant, and I was not wanting to get into that field. And so I'm trying to do some other stuff. Well, I found Manpower was hiring, and they gonna find me a job as a data entry operator. I'm like, cool. So I go to this company. It's a big company in Indianapolis, which you would know if I told you. They're not really around much anymore. But they were wanting data entry operators. So I went to the interview, and the guy told me at the interview, he says, well, I don't know if you'd really be happy here. Most of the gals back there are pretty quick, you know, with the data entry, so I don't know if you'd fit in, because I was a guy, right? And I said, well, you know, I'd like to take the, you know, little test you have for me anyway, right? And he was like, okay, we'll give you the test and everything else, blah, blah, blah. By the time I had gotten home, they had called and offered me the job, because I was the second fastest coder, typist that they had.
Yeah,
but he wasn't used to guys being fast typers, data entry stuff. So he was just like going, no, the girls are doing it. You can do something else, you know. So that was a fun time.
Yeah. I think the overqualified ones, they hurt. Like, I hated that. I wonder if someone was like, we think you'd be bored here.
Yeah, you're too qualified.
Let me decide.
But I need a job.
So, yeah, we know you need money to pay your mortgage or feed your family, but no. You're overqualified.
But, yeah, which I've said that before, but I've seen people resume, this person's way overqualified for this thing, you know. But like, I get that. But a lot of that also, like, if you're worried about like getting that, if you're seeing that a lot, like, if advertise how much the position's paying, right? And if the position says it's paying this, and you get someone who's overqualified willing to take the position, again, they may stay there for 3-4 months, but if you don't have to train them, you know, because they
do is that you can get stuff out of that person. Like if I've got a department that's screwed up really bad and the guy left and all the documentation's in bad shape and nothing's done right. I can hire a guy in if he's willing to do it for 3 months, document everything, put everything back together right, get me something so that when I do hire somebody else in, they have something to start with instead of trying to recreate from scratch because of what this guy just did to me, you know, when he left. So there's always chances out there where you can take advantage of that person's overqualifiedness to ramp up and impact your department or wherever who you're ever hiring for to make it better going forward for everybody else.
Yes. 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 It's
it's like the job. Okay, so I did the fan clutch job. So I got the job rebuilding fan clutches through Manpower. And it was just a weird call because I had just gotten the one job had ended and I was looking for something else. They said, "Well, we got this one thing. The guy says it's working on trucks, but guy says he can teach anybody in a day." And I'm like, "Okay, whatever." So I went and did it. And, you know, I've done mechanical work before, so it was kind of easy to me. So I started doing this. And then in the process of the couple months I was there, I started building processes to where we could build, instead of 3 or 4 fan clutches a day, we were doing 8 or 9, right? Then I did inventory control. I said, why are we not, you know, we're sitting here waiting for guys to come in with a blown fan clutch. We fixed it. They wait an hour or so. We fix it, and it's on. You know, we got people in line. We got people. You know how long it's going to be. It could be a long day before they can get back on the road again. So why don't we take the most popular ones that we have, get some old cores, rebuild them, and have them in stock? Right. That way, when they come in, they could just give us the core. We hand them a new fan clutch, and we go back here and we build it and put it back on the shelf. So we started doing that, and I started doing inventory controls, and we started into this big process where we were putting out tons of fan clutch. We were selling them all over the country, right? And it was that kind of stuff that I brought to the table that they weren't expecting. And they ended up paying me pretty well for it for a while. You know, I just decided I didn't want to do it anymore. But that was, you know, at least somewhere where I felt like I had contributed to that company.
Right. Like this job and the previous job, within the first 3 months of me being in the company, they're like, "You know enough to train other people. Go train. You're the trainer now." That's not even exact. I didn't even expect it at this company. They're like, "Yes. Here you go. You do this, please."
Like, and cool. You pay me this, please.
Yeah.
You're increasing what my workload is. You can pay me for it.
Exactly. But it's just one of those, you know, if you're qualified and you know what you're doing, they'll do it. Like, I'd never worked in anything pharmaceutical connected at all before this. But they're like, "Well, you have a grasp on it." Like, the person who trained me, they're like, "Yeah, you're the easiest person I've ever had to train because you just got it. I didn't have to really try." Do you like watch me do it a couple of times and you just had it? So I was able to just leave you alone. So, but you know, not everybody is qualified for it, and they took the chance and in the process of paying for me to get the tech license and pay me more for just having the license, and they're paying the courses to get the license. So it's like, might as well.
Yeah. All right, Ryan. Do you want to talk about your thing? As I said, you could in your last 5 minutes. Do you want to do it?
Oh, I mean, there's my only depression about today was that it wasn't the trifecta.
Man, I know, right?
Now, right? Some people may say that third person has already been let go and they're just hanging around for a while so they can leech off of them. So they're only showing up once in a while, right? But still, it would have been really cool to have that third announcement come out and go, "Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Hat trick.
Now let go."
But no. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
I mean, that would have been a win for media in this company just to be trustworthy somewhat again, you know.
Not letting any of them off the hook, just more of like, you have, you're going in the right direction. We're going the election season. Can you continue?
Yeah. Well, you know what they were replacing Tucker with was like just an hour of news or something like that. I'd rather hear you bring back net headline news. Mm-hmm. And listen to me. Bring back the headline news channel where I can just for a half an hour hear the headlines, and they repeat every half hour. And when something breaks, you change it up a little bit. I would so much rather that than listen to you idiots talking about politics without knowing what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Because you get people who believe that you know what you're talking about, and you don't. You're wrong all the time.
Yep.
Can we just go back to not having 24-hour news cycles? Can we just go back to that? Things felt so much nicer and quieter.
It's not the world you live in anymore.
Because the ignorance was so blissful.
Well, the problem is that you used to only have to care about your local area because getting news from somewhere else was hard. It wasn't easy, right? And as it became easier and easier and easier, the news cycle got smaller and smaller and smaller, and all the stories started blowing up. And you think, wow, all this crazy stuff is happening in our world that wasn't happening before. No, you just didn't know about it because everybody cared about their little county or city or state. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't care. We didn't care what happened in New York because we weren't going to New York anytime soon. And it wasn't in our daily thing. We were worried about what this person down the street is getting into. And what about the kids down the block? They're stealing everybody's stuff. You know, let's get them wrangled together and figure it out, you know? And now it's not like that. Right. I mean, it's just because we have the ability to do that. It's the same thing like with ChatGPT or AI. And so everybody's all worried about it. I'm like, yeah, it's going to change things. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be sucky parts because of it. Mm-hmm. But it's just the way technology advances. This is what we're going to have to get used to and deal with.
I'll be honest. I'm not scared of AI until it can draw hands properly. Yeah. When they do that, it's over. It's over.
Well, even normal artists can't.
Because normal artists can't even draw hands. Much.
Right. It irritates me so much that they call it AI. It's not AI. We have nothing close to AI right now, people. It's going to be hundreds of years before we can think about being close to that.
Reinhold's going to be the one that really initiates, I have no mouth and I must scream. Mm-hmm. Reinhold's going to create AIM.
Really good programming is all you have. You're seeing.
Wow.
Somebody, a good database access, a good learning engine to update that database, but not any thought processes going on behind it that are developed by the machine itself. It's not rebuilding its own code and thought processes as it goes along. It's not happening. It's not thinking. It's looking up a matrix and doing a case and then going to a database. That's all it's doing.
Pretty much. I will say this, I thought about doing like a Boss Hog style podcast for my local small town, because some people just don't like our small town. Just like all the meetings are on Zoom. I can look at the previous meeting notes on YouTube. It's really good to get like find out what the town is voting on. But people still act like in the Facebook group, like, we didn't know this was happening. I can't believe they spent money on this. I can't believe we're doing this. Just like everyone right now, like here on my Facebook feed and everything like that for the local town is going like, I can't believe they shut down this main street to do construction. I go like, they have been talking about this for 3 whole months that this is happening. This is happening. And and we're putting sidewalks in. They denied our bike lanes. I really wanted the real bike lanes, not the bike gutters. But
you know they were gonna make them gutters.
Honestly, I think some other YouTube channel was talking about like this way to how to sneak them into a town, like to temp them using like concrete barriers, like the parking barriers, so you could temp in a bike lane, see if people like it. Yeah, and I'm like, so you can easily put it in and easily take it away. But, oh, you don't like it? We take it away. You know, so and you don't spend a lot of money. You can move them around places. You know, but anyways, yeah. So yeah. I think.
I want to. When it's to a point where I'm not working, like when I retire, I'm just going to go to the courthouse and just sit in every single meeting. I'm going to go to the jail and watch all the in the courts, right? And I'm going to go watch all the all the court stuff, and I'm going to just sit there and report on it. That's all I'm going to do all day long. Just sit there, take a lunch, get to know everybody, and just
that's Reinhold's YouTube channel. Old man yells at news.
Yells at news.
Yells at courthouse.
Honestly, people would watch it.
Absolutely, they would absolutely watch it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah,
they'll watch anything, really.
Yeah, it's true too. That's also true. Yeah. All right. Before this episode gets too long, in the truth, I gave Reinhold his 5 minutes. He used them very wisely.
Yes, us talking about AI and the news media.
Yeah, general. I will say this with AI. I was like, wonder what's going to happen to like the low line employees. I was just like, why do you think AI is going to replace us? I don't need the corporation. Sorry, a true AI will allow me to like. Having AI will let us bypass the need for a corporation. I don't need you. I was like, but you, no. You think I need a day? You need a day to get rid of me? No, I'm using AI to get rid of you.
Well, yes, my AI does do all my marketing.
The movie in reverse,
right? Yeah, I got the AI. Yeah, but I can use this to replace the marketing. Blah blah blah. Like, yeah. So why do I need you?
Right.
I'm done. I can go do this somewhere else. Go somewhere else. Go get everything else done. I think AI is the death knell for corporations. You know, big international corporations.
What happens when AI is able to take care of your finances for you to the point where you don't have, if you're not good with money, the AI can help take care of it for you, like keep you out of debt, out of being homeless, just by being able to manage your funds for you.
Yeah.
The issue with that is that because there's too much human error to that, where somebody like, I want to buy this thing. And the AI goes, no. And they're like, how do I bypass this thing?
That is true. Ramsey has been there yelling at people.
I'm going to get a new credit card. Don't care.
Yeah, Brian, I'll say
Ramsey doesn't have insight into your personal finances. And I think that's really, I mean, he can say, oh, blah, 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 blah. But everybody's going to go, yeah, but you don't know exactly what my situation is. And if you have something that's looking at your exact situation and say, you know, if you do this, you'd have this much money to bank. If you did this, you'd have this much money to bank after this many years or whatever. Somebody may be able to go, hey, I didn't realize that. I could, you know, that sort of thing. Like instead of going to, there's a thing going on now, instead of going and buying something getting a loan from a bank, you know, get a loan from yourself at a certain rate, and you can do it in a certain way that you actually save a lot of interest.
Yeah,
than trying to go through like a bank. Yeah. And I don't know. I just think there's things like that we could teach people a lot better, and we could have we could have Clippy, you know, for finance. Clippy. Right, hey, it looks like you're trying to save some money. Let me show you how to do that.
Which would be cool, you know? but then you have that one person that'd be like, thanks, I'm saving so much money. Now I'm going to get this credit card because it's not going to affect my financial statement based on what that says. Boom, maxed out the credit card. I'm going to get another credit card.
Yeah, but you have that now.
Maxed it out. I know.
That's you have exactly. that now. I'm just talking about giving tools to people who are actually wanting to know how to do this and don't. And don't have the resources, you know.
Yeah.
The people who are going to be like you, like that, are going to do it anyway. So, yours. Right, but
right. I mean,
most of the people who are sitting with no house aren't those types of people, right? The people who get homeless aren't that kind of people. There's people who don't know what they're doing, or they have mental illnesses, or they have situations that come up that they don't have any protection for and fall out of the cracks and then can't get back in, right? So if we can help people like that from falling into those situations to begin with technology, not government handouts, not laws, not all the other things that they want to do, but technology, helping people be able to help themselves in a much better way, I think we put a dent in a lot of that.
I agree, but then
that's a hot take.
But then that my question is, all right, that homeless person, how is they going to get access to that technology based on what price point it has to be at for somebody to make it, for it to be financially viable for them to make it?
Public libraries do it now for internet stuff, right? Just snap on the internet.
Yeah. I think it's I think.
But the libraries are dying because the copyright issues, where the copyright holders are trying to destroy the libraries by forcing them to buy more licenses for books, and they can't even hold the licenses because they can take the licenses away. And now the books are now the libraries are feeling pressured because they can't even afford to keep these licenses or keep themselves open.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the books they have are donated. They aren't buying them. It's not anything they have to worry about licensing for. They're already, the license is already taken care of for that.
No, the digital
license. License something that's already bought.
The digital license. Yeah, there's the digital licensing thing. But it's, I see, like, as you were saying, I was just coming up with, like, honestly, I would love an app that would just tell me, like, hey, we noticed you was going to buy a new iPhone. If you just took that $1,000 and bought Apple stock, buy some crap tier Android phone in 3 years, it would be this. Oh, Android it is.
Oh, but the problem is that you don't buy that, and you don't buy that, you don't buy that Apple product. Mm-hmm. Your Apple stock then tanks because everybody's not buying the Apple product anymore. Then you have no return.
It's a counter argument there, Harry. Somebody would be like, oh, that is true, but I do want to flex on TikTok. Buy his phone anyway.
I know. And then I invested. So, like, thanks, Mr. Flex. I love when people flex like that. Works out to my favor. Anyways, 10 minutes over. We're done. This episode's over. Say goodbye. Okay.
Okay. Bye, guys.
All right. But no, if you gotten this far in this episode, I want to say thank you. You know, you're real fans. But if you're listening to this in podcast form, please come hang out with us on Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Come hang out. Get on YouTube. Go to twitch.tv/WeAreLibertarians. Just a little R. So the A-R-E. It's just a letter R. Or come on YouTube.com/WeAreLibertarians. Come hang out with us live. Chat with us. Have fun. It's, you know, like, you know, we're here having fun. Hang out with us. Please come. You know, so we have a lot of fun here, especially the next time, because if I can get Paul to show up next Monday, it's, you know, I'm getting some really cool topics. But anyways, thank you, everybody. Have a good one. Say bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye. He bailed quick.